And I had some thoughts this morning that I just thought I would share with you tonight because they were pertinent to the week to come. And I was just kind of preparing my own heart for the week ahead and what the Lord had for me. And I think some of the thoughts that came to my mind are sort of applicable to all of us as we look forward to this coming week. Let me read it to you. Of course, the setting of this is not too pleasant a story. The background of it is the reflection of David's heart after the incident with Bathsheba. He had sinned against the Lord, and he recognized this. And this is sort of the cry of his heart after he has come to this realization and after he has settled the issue with the Lord. As he reflects back upon it. And he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me throughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee, thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar." As I was just meditating upon this and praying over it and applying it to my own life this morning in preparation for the week, Psalm 139, 23 and 24 came to my mind. "Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts. And see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." And this morning, that's what I wanted the Lord to do. Just to search me, try my heart, see if there be any wicked way in me, and to lead me in the way everlasting. And you know, I have prayed that, as David prayed it, before. And I've discovered that it's a pretty dangerous thing to do. To really sincerely and honestly come to the Lord in the light of Psalm 139, 23 and 24 and ask Him to search our hearts. And to really mean it. Not just to do it in a superficial way, but to really mean it. To ask God to get down and do a little probing and digging. And if there's anything there that could in any way hinder our relationship with Him, to ask Him to point it out so that it can be straightened out. I remember one time when we were living in Portland, Oregon, I was a youth director in a church. I'd been out of seminary about 2 years at that time, maybe a little more than that. And I can remember the period of time in which this took place, because it was a period that I was going through when my fellowship with the Lord was very, very sweet. And it was a time when in the morning and I'd get up and spend time with the Lord. It was just precious. There's no other way to describe it. And one morning, I was spending a few minutes with the Lord, and I prayed Psalm 139, 23, and 24. I was on my knees before the Lord. And out of the blue, the Lord brought something to my mind that almost shocked me right into standing straight up. When I was in seminary, one time I wasn't prepared for a Hebrew exam. I hated Hebrew, and I wasn't prepared, and I had cheated. A seminary student preparing for the ministry. And you know, I had completely forgotten about that until there on my knees, I asked God to open up my heart and do a little searching and probing. Now, this wasn't a period of time in my life when I was, you know, really out of fellowship with the Lord. I was in sweet fellowship with the Lord. And it was probably the thing that caused me to just open my heart to the Lord in that way. But He brought this to my attention. And so I confessed it. There's only one thing to do with sin. That was the thing that David did here. He confessed it. He acknowledged before the Lord that he had sinned, that he had transgressed. And he admitted it. And then confessed it as sin. And that's what I did. And the next morning I came to the Lord and opened the Word and read and began to pray. And this same thing came back again. And I thought, well, Lord, I thought I had that squared away with you yesterday morning. But I couldn't forget it. And every time in the next few days that I would get down to pray, the Lord would bring this thing to my mind. And so I began to wonder, well, is there something more the Lord wants me to do about it? And finally, as much as I hated to admit it, I knew what the Lord wanted me to do. He wanted me to write to the seminary, the president of the seminary, and admit this to him. Well, now, wait a minute, Lord. I have come to you in the light of 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I've admitted this to you, and I've got it straightened out. Why this? But I couldn't get away from the fact that this is what I knew the Lord wanted me to do. Several days went by, and this kept plaguing me, and finally I sat down, and I wrote a letter to the president of the seminary, explaining what had happened and asking, telling him that I had confessed this to the Lord, I knew that it was wrong, and I felt that I should let him know and that they could take whatever action was necessary. I put the letter in an envelope, addressed it, even put a stamp on it, and set it there on my desk. And the next morning I said, now, Lord, look what I've done. You know my heart. I would be willing to mail this if you wanted me to, but I've gone to all the trouble of writing this letter now, and my heart is perfectly right on it. Isn't this enough? No, it isn't. And you know, that thing didn't leave from between my shoulder blades until I dropped that letter in the mailbox. And then it was just as though a weight was rolled off. And you know, at the beginning of this week, even though the last few weeks may have been wonderful and sweet in your fellowship with the Lord, there may be something in your heart that God wants to deal with you on. And the thing that I have been praying for each of you who are coming to this conference is that the Lord will give you really an open heart to Him to do anything He wants to do in your life. No matter if you may feel you've got it all straightened out, there's nothing between you and the Lord. That at the very outset of this week, that you will come to Him in the light of Psalm 139, 23, and 24. Open, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me. Because over in Jeremiah, we read that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? And the easiest guy for me to kid is this fellow right here. So let's not make the mistake of going through this next week with something in our lives that could interfere with what God really wants to do in our hearts. Let's get it all out. Let's get it all out before the Lord. And the thing that I would encourage you to do tomorrow is to just spend some time walking around out here, getting up on a rock someplace in this beautiful setting. I was talking with one of you tonight, and you said it's a gorgeous place. It's inspiring. That was the word you used. It's inspiring. And it is. And God made this place. And He's given it to us to share with you. And so the thing that I would encourage you to do tomorrow is take your Bible and maybe your notebook and just get out somewhere on a rock or go for a walk or a hike and ask the Lord to search your heart. And read some passages of Scripture and spend some time in prayer. And make sure that there's nothing that can stand in the way of the Lord really doing a work in our lives during this coming week. David starts out and he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies." You know, we really need mercy, don't we? Day by day. Over in Lamentations 3, it says, "It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed." It's because of His mercy. Because He knows what kind of men and women we really are. He looks right inside of our hearts. He knows the blackness of our heart. He knows the pride, the selfishness, the jealousy, the little irritations and the bad attitudes that creep up, and even though they may not show to our brethren, yet He is very much aware of them. And it is of the Lord's mercies, brethren, that we are not consumed. And how grateful I am for that. They are new every morning. Great is thy faithfulness. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. Only one thing that we can do with sin. David, in the same setting over in Psalm 32, very graphically explains exactly how he felt and what he did about it when this incident took place. Beginning in verse 3, Psalm 32, verse 3. "When I kept silence, my bones waxed old through my roaring all the day long." Now, I don't know exactly what that means, but I can empathize a little bit with David, because that's the way I felt up there in Portland day after day, as long as I procrastinated on what I knew God wanted me to do regarding this iniquity that was in my heart. "Day and night thy hand was heavy upon me. My moisture is turned into the drought of summer." And then verse 5, "I acknowledged my sin unto thee, and mine iniquity have I not hid. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord, and thou forgavest me the iniquity of my sin." It's so simple. And yet how hard it is for us sometimes to really admit that we have wronged God on a certain issue. Yet that's all He wants. He just wants us to admit it. Just to come to Him and simply admit that we've wronged Him. That's what real confession is. "Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from my sin, for I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me." Dr. Moon, who is the creator of the Moody Science films. You've seen some of them, I'm sure. His dad was a real saint of God. And near the end of his life, most people knew him as Daddy Moon. Near the end of his life, his son came to him and he says, "Dad, if you could leave with me just one verse of Scripture that stands out to you above all others that I could take through my lifetime and apply it day after day, what verse from the Scriptures would you leave with me?" And without any hesitation, Daddy Moon looked his son right straight in the eye and he says, "Son, there's a verse that I use every day that I'm here on this earth. 1 John 1:9. He says, "Never forget it. It's a precious promise that God has given to us. If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." It's a marvelous promise that we have of the Lord, and we need to claim it day by day. Now, once we do this, the thing that is thrilling to me in this passage is the results of it. What it does, how it affects our daily life, our inner life, how it affects our ministry, how it affects our relationship with God. And that's what David goes on to explain here in the last three quarters or two-thirds of this passage, beginning with verse 8. He says, "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice." Once we've confessed our sin, there is something that is reestablished that has been lacking. We may have sensed it. We may not have been so much aware of it. We may have been living in some area of sin for so long that we have become insensitive. Now, I'm not talking about necessarily sin like David got involved in here. But what about things like your neglect of the word? A failure to have daily fellowship with the Lord. The neglect of prayer. Your failure to take advantage of opportunities to share Jesus Christ with other people that come up in just the normal course of the day. Have you ever thought about these things as being sin? Because these are commands that are given to us in the Word of God. Woe be to us when we become complacent and insensitive to the Spirit of God as He deals with us in areas of our life of neglect, of omission as well as commission of sin. So this week, let's search our heart in these areas too, because we're going to be dealing with these matters. We're going to be dealing with personal evangelism, witnessing, giving our personal testimony. We're going to be doing Bible study every day. We're going to be talking about such things as Scripture memory and prayer and the quiet time, because these are essential ingredients in the life of the Christian on a day-by-day basis in order to maintain that sweet fellowship with the Lord. And these are the things that, when done in the right spirit and under the direction and power of the Spirit of God, give us that joy that David missed. Look at verse 12. He says, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." Have you ever had that feeling within you? Oh, if I could only have that joy that I once knew. This was David's experience. And he cried out to the Lord, "Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation." This may be something that you'll want to pray about this week. You want to get squared away with the Lord to restore unto you the joy of your salvation. So in our own life, joy is a thing that the confession of sin is a result of. He goes on, "Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities. Create in me a clean heart." A clean heart. I believe that most Christians, when in some area of their life they're out of fellowship with the Lord, they're aware of it. We know it. Now, it may go on and on and on until we become so insensitive to it that we can forget it. But this was what David wanted. He wanted a clean heart. And he prayed for it. And renew a right spirit within me. You know, when there's sin in our lives and we're aware of it, boy, the old nature can really flare up at times. And David experienced this. And so he says, renew a right spirit within me. Lord, give me a good attitude. Give me that spirit toward people that is sweet and joyous and that causes harmony to take place and restores fellowship rather than me lashing out at people and being cross with my wife and my kids. A sweet spirit. He wanted that. And because of this sin that had gone unconfessed, he didn't have it. And then verse 13. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. What an effect it has on our ministry. Because there's a new freedom there, a new liberty. There isn't that deep down in guilt feeling that when an opportunity to tell someone about Jesus Christ comes up, Satan gets at us and he says, who do you think you are? Trying to talk to somebody else about Jesus Christ when you're not even right with the Lord yourself. You ever had that happen? Boy, we've got a faithful adversary. So let's make sure that our hearts are right so that when we leave this place, and when you head back on the train, and God gives you that opportunity across the dining table to talk to somebody about Jesus Christ, that there is an immediate response, that there isn't a guilt feeling there, that I can't talk because. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. A fruitful life. And then in verse 14, deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. A new kind of easy responsiveness to the things of the Lord. This is not just another passage of Scripture when we open it up. This is not just another message that I'm listening to. But there's a heart response. There's a praise that springs from our lips that's free and easy with the Lord when our heart is clean and pure before Him. And then something that really struck me this morning, just as I was just about ready to close the word. And I read 16, 17, 18, and 19, and I couldn't figure it out. What was the Lord driving at here, especially in these last two verses? For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offering. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And I got to thinking, well, verse 16 is talking about the externals. Verse 17 is talking about the internals, the real attitudes of my heart. And the sacrifices and the burnt offerings, absolutely worthless unless our heart is right in the offering of them. Unless our heart is responsive to the Lord. We can go through all kinds of ritual. We can attend church. We can go to prayer meeting. We can be faithful in this, that, and other responsibilities that we may have in our community as far as religious service is concerned. Service for Christ. We can memorize Scripture. We can do Bible study. and go through the process of it. We can even get up and have a quiet time in the morning and be faithful at it. And it'd be just like the thing that the Lord is not favored with and is not pleased with in verse 16, unless verse 17 accompanies it. Unless there's the internal heart response. It's not just a number of processes that I'm going through. It's not just habits that I've formed and I'm doing because this is the thing a Christian does in my particular sphere of Christian influence. God is interested in the why. God is interested in the motivation. Why I do what I do the way I do it. And that's what he's driving at in verses 18 and 19. Do good in thy... Now, the psalmist is talking to the Lord, and he says, do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. And the thing that came to my mind was, Lord, build the walls around my heart that will make it sensitive to thee and to respond only to thee. That it will not respond to the pull of the world, to the temptations that I'm daily faced with, but it will only have a response upward. Build a wall around my heart that will cause that kind of a response to take place. Then shalt thou be pleased with the sacrifices of righteousness, with burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then shall they offer bullocks upon thine altar. Then you'll be pleased with all these things, these externals that I do, if my heart is only to thee. But it's only a clean heart that responds in this way. Now let me just mention three or four practical things that you can do this week. In addition to what we've already talked about, and you know your own hearts on this, and the Lord will search you if you give him the opportunity. Three or four practical things that can make this week more meaningful to you. To some of you, these may be new. To others, I'm sure they won't be. First of all, take notes. If you don't have paper and pencil, well, borrow some from somebody. But take notes on the messages and on some of the discussions, and particularly jot down the passages of Scripture that are used that there is an immediate response to on your part. Now, the reason for that is there's going to be a lot of stuff dished out this week. And you're not going to be able to remember it all. No, I mean, it's an impossible thing for you to do this. But God may want to be dealing with you on two or three or four or five issues. So put it down on paper, and then secondly, get time alone with God and go over these notes. Go over the passages of Scripture. Review them. Look the passages up. Think through on them. And then thirdly, begin to apply them now. Don't make the mistake of saying, well, boy, when I get home, because when you get home and the pressures begin to crowd in then, nine chances out of ten it'll never happen. Begin to apply them now. Lord, what is it you want me to do now? And then fourthly, get time with other people, with Bob, myself, and Dr. Bremner, some of the other staff around here, John Crawford. That's why we're here. Man, it's our privilege to sit down and chat with you, and if you got something you want to know about, or if one of us says something in the message you don't understand, or anything we can do to help, we want to. That's why we're here. Or with each other. Share with each other what the Lord is doing. You know, this is kind of a unique conference. It's the first time we've ever really had anything like this at Glen Eyre that I can remember, where a group of people have all come from one pretty close-knit geographical area, and you're all going to be going back to that geographical area. And when I think of the potential of this gang right here. So get to know each other. Get to know your heartbeats. Spend time with one another. Get off in these rocks together and pray. Spend time with people. Well, let's close in a word of prayer.